Judging ATL with Nicholas Bach here, coming to you live.
Is it the fabulous city this time, or is it the...
It's the lost city of Atlanta, coming to you live from the lost city of Atlanta. Is that a Millennium Falcon on that helmet right there?
Yeah.
Oh, why do you keep wearing t-shirts? To go, where? All right, so this is it. That's it. Where are you getting these shirts from?
This is from Midway Pub in East Atlanta Village.
East Atlanta Village.
Yes.
Midway Pub.
Yes. Shout out to Midway.
Shout out to Midway Pub. That's a very nice shirt. And I will be taking a picture of that shirt as well.
I don't even really drink there, but I do buy t-shirts from there.
All right.
They have a couple of Atlanta Falcon t-shirts that are Star Wars driven.
Yeah, it's pretty raw. Yeah.
Well, it's classic too. I like it.
Coming to you via iTunes, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, Google Play, Spotify, and
a bunch of others.
Any reputable streaming site.
Yeah. Are we on YouTube still?
It's my fault. I haven't put us on YouTube.
That's a lot of work.
I'm going to do something.
I've got to figure it out. You have to like put like a picture of us.
And then just have like the audio running?
Yeah. People do it.
Can I put a picture of that t-shirt? Is that the audio right?
Yeah, we can label each other because you have every one of my t-shirts I wear over here.
Right. I'll just put a picture of the t-shirt. And we'll
Nick, is that
there.
A plain ass gray t-shirt? I got to get a picture of it.
I only take the finest pictures, Nick.
That's true.
The most exquisite t-shirt you will wear over here.
Best foot forward.
So real quick, Nick, what's going on with you? You got anything crazy? Oh, no. Forget about your life. Let's go back to me. So the thing is, Nick, the other day I'm talking to a friend and he says, listen to your show.
Uh-oh.
I said, okay.
Uh-oh.
And he says,
is that dumbass?
He says, I listen specifically. This is a reference to the last show or one of the last shows. Cause I'm not sure what order I posted it, but one of our last shows. And he says, I don't really like how you're being a little hard on Nick.
Oh yeah.
I said, what do you mean? I was like, what are you talking about being hard on Nick? Uh-huh. He was like, listen, man, you went a little bit too hard about his wife making more money than him. I said, that's because listen, we are very good with that. I pushed that fact because listen, if the women in our lives are making more money than us, we don't care.
Yeah. That's the whole point.
It doesn't matter. So his situation where he was like, well, I just feel like, you know, you went a little too far.
I get mine. Don't get it twisted,
That's what I'm saying.
Don't get it twisted, sir.
I feel like I highlight that situation.
I'm in the five-figure club, and my wife still makes more money than me.
Are you in a five-figure club? Have you paid your mortgage? Is that what you're saying?
I'm working my way up in the life. Nick's doing okay. Thank you for your concern, though.
I mean, there's no need for concern.
There's no need for concern
because I am very nice to you, Nick.
No, like, but we've also known each other a decade, and we know when each other is BSing each other and or when, you know, like, no, we...
Well, I feel like that was the first, the wife making more money thing, I think it's a compliment.
I think that's honestly why we get along so well is because it's just like we both don't care about each other's feelings to a point of like, no, we're going to be real from the get-go. Like, I don't care about your little...
Well, when you see the growth from where, when I go from little 5 points, Nick, back in the day... With the couch out front, with the couch on the porch.
Yeah, that's true.
You know what I mean? You weren't sleeping on that couch, but there was a couch out front that random people would sit on.
There was people sleeping on it at some points. I didn't know who they were, but you'd wake up, you know, start your day off walking onto your porch and there would be some downtrodden, you know, vagrant.
Well, I feel like if you are a vagrant and you're walking around the streets anyway, I'm going to sleep on this guy's couch
They would also toss the cushions around to find change, which I think is a good racket, honestly.
Did they leave the cushions?
I mean, they would leave the cushions, but not in orderly fashion.
Not in the way they were found.
No, they would definitely like, then they'd probably find a lot of money. There was a lot of just like, hey, run to the store, get beer, you know, come back with a wad of ones you'd throw in your pocket and fall out in the pot. You know, there's probably a guy who would hit that up. Like, that's basically a homeless ATM right there.
You became a dependable source of income for.
I guess that's why they always used to hang out.
The homeless population.
Either way, that was the punk rock household when I had like two-digit club, part of the two-digit club.
That's what I'm saying. When I see it's tremendous growth. Mm-hmm. It's tremendous growth that I'm witnessing.
Yeah.
So real quick, Nick, before we get into the subject of the show, which is I want to kind of talk about where Marvel's heading in general. We talk about Endgame and kind of where Marvel's heading, and there's spoilers. Beware if you have not watched any of the Avengers movies.
Go ahead and say it now.
Spoiler alert.
Abound, afoot, aplenty. Just,
if you
just,
haven't seen Marvel have movies seen and haven't yet, seen the last few Marvel movies,
just put this on the queue for later until you do see it, because this is ridiculous, people. It's made $2 billion, and that's not from just like the same five people. If you haven't seen it yet, get with it.
How many times have you seen it, Nick?
Two.
I've only seen it once.
I think I'm going to go see it next weekend with a buddy. He's like, I still haven't seen it. I'm like, I hope you know what happens, because if not, we waited. We did our duty and waited a whole 2 weeks
before we dug in,
putting it out there about what we thought about certain events and or non-events that happened and didn't happen.
Well, let's start then there. Where in the rankings is this movie for Nick?
Rankings. I was expecting this huge spectacle of a movie, just like everyone else was. We were expecting battle scene after battle scene. We were expecting, you know, a long, drawn out, you know, just war and getting back. How it was going to happen was just going to happen. But we expected a bigger. I at least expected a bigger. I don't know, scaled movie. And it really wasn't that big of a scale of a movie. It was a lot of like the first 30 minutes was pretty awesome. And then as soon as Thanos' head gets cut off, you're like, wait, what? And there was like audible gasp in the audience. And it was awesome. It was great. It was perfect. I am not knocking it, but then the time jump happens. And then it's like, oh, this is the movie. It's not the big battle war, whatever. It's going to be a, how do we deal with this in the wake of our failure sort of thing.
Right. And you see the real fallout of the failure.
And yeah. And that's what I really loved about it. It really
did. Like, impact it had.
And the superhero movies, they don't really deal with that a lot. Watchmen did really deal with that. And I think, Batman versus Superman did a really good job.
We know that Watchmen storyline lends itself to that, though. Watchmen's got very great source material to pull from.
But also, it comes from a little more hyper-realist sort of viewpoint.
Yeah, exactly.
And with this, it was like they had kind of gone kind of off the rails with like the, okay, all right, like aliens, and okay, we get it. Like, there's only so much like fantasy we can take. This was like, boom, let's see how real we can make it. Let's everyone deal with the fact that we lost. And like how, like, so like for like the first hour of the movie, first hour, hour and a half of the movie, it was really more about that. And then it turned into, which I love, which I think a lot of franchise movies are doing lately. They're doing more genre pieces rather than the hero arc. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
They're not doing the origin story of rise, fall, rise, you know, kind of thing. They're doing like, oh, let's put these characters that we've already done that with and put them on in all these crazy genre movies. So this was pretty much Ocean's 11 with Marvel.
So where's the bank? Like, or where's the casino?
I mean, the time heist, getting the stones back. Stealing the stones back from where they are.
I see what you're saying.
So like, it's like, okay, we got to go get
all those pieces together.
I mean, literally they had that. We got to get the gang back together. So like, it's like, so
where was Vision? Somebody asked about Vision Stone. Where was that?
His was the Mind Stone.
And where did they get it from?
That was from Loki's scepter.
I see. Yeah. Okay. Cause we were trying to figure it out and I was like, I don't know. I had to go back and watch it.
I think the Tesseract was the Space Stone. And then his scepter was the Mind Stone. I think that's where that came from.
So where is your rankings? Where do you rank it?
I'd say it was up there. It was definitely top five in terms of it really did give you the great payoff that you wanted.
So you say top five. So let's theoretically put that in at five. What movies are ahead of it?
Infinity War was pretty good. I really liked it.
So you liked the Infinity War more than Endgame?
I did, because I liked the cliffhanger. I liked that it was just from a marketing and like just storytelling standpoint. Like, it was a good setup.
Right.
It was a really good setup. Like, really good. Civil War would be up there. The first Avengers and probably... what would be around, like, probably the first Guardians. Yeah.
So the first Avengers, is that what you said?
Yeah.
You put the first Avengers over Endgame?
I didn't put anything over. Yeah.
I guess, top five. And okay, I said theoretically.
I think the first Avengers from the other standpoint of like it was a good payoff from phase one.
If those are your top five, I think Endgame needs to start moving up your list, in my opinion.
Ultron's not on there.
Okay. I'm not going to deal with that. Like, Ultron's even though not I think on I liked Age of Ultron more than I liked the first. I didn't really care for the first Avengers.
I thought the first Avengers.
I didn't even
Avengers,
go to watch it in
I
the
think
theaters.
The first Avengers was good from the sense of like it gave you the perfect setups and it was a good payoff. Like it met expectations in terms of like, if this is what's possible with this, let's see where we can go from here. It's a good stepping stone to get to your next step. I loved it. I thought it was great. I thought it was really cool to see. It would have been the fantasy, you know, at 13, if I was watching that movie, 12 or 13 years old, I would have loved it. I'm looking at more of like from that standpoint of like my inner kid fandom. Mm-hmm. Is that satiated?
Was it serviced?
Was that serviced? Was that, you know, and not in a way that I'm like, either A, feeling betrayed or like something was lacking. Like it was really well just formulated and did really well. I thought it paid off really well. So yeah, I'll put it above Endgame just because Endgame, it, like I said, it just like, it wasn't necessarily like it was lacking. I just expected something bigger and I was happier with the smaller thing they gave me. You know what I'm saying?
It was like
you think it's just going to be all action driven and it's all character driven, like the 100% character driven from like, you know, because you have 3 hours to develop like 40 characters. You know what I'm saying? You're not going to do it without giving them some like, because they have all this setup and then you have this event happen. Now all your character development was in that 5 years. You know what I'm saying? Time jumps are really convenient like that, where you can do all this character development and all these things can happen in those 5 years and then turn around and say, okay, now here's our characters now in this new light, in this new sort of like, you know, opinions and these new sort of viewpoints and these new sort of just, you know, and then from in that you learn through their actions and their, you know, their reactions of how they've developed over those 5 years. And a lot of them are dealing with depression. A lot of them are dealing with, you know, the thought of failure. I mean, look at Thor's arc. That's crazy. Yeah,
the exact opposite of Tony's arc. Tony, like, he had lightweight.
He was like,
pulled it together.
I'm good.
Like, hey, listen, I'm all right. Good. You know, yeah, I'm learning to cope with it.
Thor's depressed. I was at the brink of death, and now I'm back, and I don't care. Ultimately, he did.
So you go into that whole soliloquy there, mm-hmm. and it's all going to culminate to this, Nick. What is the letter grade that you give the movie?
Solid A.
A solid A.
Solid A.
Is that A plus or is it a little less than A plus?
A solid A. 95.
Yeah, approaching, teetering on A plus. Yes, but not teetering, necessarily. No. If A plus is like 99, 100, yeah. Teetering on it.
Because it was a lot of like, you know, like, because it seems like they put a lot of the like battle scenes and like a lot of the story Infinity War. It's like they put a lot of the story on Infinity War, a lot of it. And then like this one was just sort of like, let's have fun. And it was a lot smaller scale. It was just a lot smaller scale than what I thought. And I loved it, you know, for being a $500 million like budgeted movie. They put a lot of it into probably just getting it done rather than like, all right, CGI everything, you know, because there was enough CGI in it to, you know, obviously the last battle is 90% CGI, but like, I don't know. It just like that, you're not noticing that in the payoff. You know?
No, I agree.
You're not noticing it. How did you like it? Because you were really skeptical from the get-go of Infinity War and this one. Like you were like super like, you know, source material.
I wanted Adam Warlock.
How was your inner fandom satiated? Was it serviced enough to where you were satisfied, or was it more or less leaving something lacking something?
It was lacking Adam Warlock. Besides that, so going into the movie, I was definitely wary of it. You know, I had it's not hesitation looking like I will say. I just went in thinking that it was going to leave me wanting much more. when I left the experience now and just wanting just a little more.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't you crazy. Know. And then I'm seeing the differentiation between the source material and the movie. It's kind of like where Game of Thrones is as of late, where you have an interpretation of source material because you don't really have much. It's different.
None. Yeah.
It's different.
Unless you're like talking to George R. R. Martin.
Right.
Like.
So I read an article just to kind of draw my comparison here with George R. With, you know, they know that George R. R. Martin gave them how he feels the story is going to end. So mm-hmm. whatever version we see in the final episode of Game of Thrones is going to be what he told them. Now, a good analogy I saw to that. And so ultimately, I can live with Game of Thrones because of that. I know that whatever happens, end of the day, the author was involved in how they got there. Okay. And the same situation with the Avengers movies. You know, they definitely pull from Infinity Gauntlet, but it's not Infinity Gauntlet.
Yeah.
You know what
and
I mean?
That's kind of my point. What I was trying to say too is like they have like if you look at it like an Elseworld sort of situation or a multiverse sort of situation, this is just one of the versions of that multiverse. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And with the new Spider-Man trailer, it looks like that's where they're going for Phase 4. Because if you
You know, Phase 4 doesn't start with Spider-Man. Phase 3 ends with Spider-Man.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying.
So like the transition into Phase 4.
But they've already mentioned the multiverse exists.
Yeah, I saw that.
And so, so that means that RDJ could essentially come back in some form. You know what I'm saying? Like all these things could happen when you start opening up that can of worms. Like the time travel can of worms, everyone has opened up. It's almost like a cliche at this point.
Yeah. Soap operas have done the time travel.
Even though, I know, right? Even though with this, it's cool because like Avengers had a really cool like rule base for it. They're like, it's like everything has to happen. Like in order for us to get here, we have to lose. We have to do these things. We have, and it's not going to, you know, like Hulk's like, it's not going to change the future. But he's like, we can bring all these people back and like it'll, we can change the future, but it won't change our present. You know, like everything has to happen at a certain point.
I like the spin they try to put on time travel. I still do think that I like. So just real quick on those, that little debate, the Back to the Future time travel or the Endgame time travel, which one do you like more?
Because they're both continuum
they're both giving. And I'm not even a fan of how Endgame made fun of the Back to the Future. Like,
yeah.
As if they're not, legitimate, fighting a space guy on, you know what I mean? Yeah, as if like, their story is really, more rooted really in truth.
Yeah, I'm like, you don't really get to, at least there's some science.
Right. It's funny.
Like when the guy who's ripping on it is a giant green, you know, right. Gamma infested scientist that has superhuman strength. Yeah.
This is the guy who's making fun of how ridiculous the time travel Mark is in Ruffalo, Back to the Future.
Mark Ruffalo, amazing. He was amazing in this. And it was just like,
I like how they did the Smart Hulk because that Smart Hulk comes from source material.
Yeah,
too.
That's what I like too. And I love the fact that when they went back to the Battle of New York, they're like, smash stuff. He's like, I don't find it really necessary. And he just sort of like picks stuff up. He's like, rawr. Like such a good scene, you know, such a really, really good scene.
So which one do you like better? The Endgame or the Back to the Future? Time travel.
I like the Back to the Future because I like there being stakes.
I think that Back to the Future, if time travel was real, in my opinion, the Back to the Future time travel sounds more plausible because it's like if you were to go. Now, I'm not sure about like, hey, if I go back 15 years and stomp on an ant, you know, there won't be world peace or, you know what I mean? Or there will be world peace type of situation.
That kind of happens.
Though, because you got to think about it. Like if you change certain key things where let's say somebody doesn't move to a certain place, you're not born or chance meetings happen all the time. Yeah, right.
Exactly.
And if anything changes, let's say that you, somebody meets their wife at a concert.
Yeah.
If anything changes, if she has a headache that day. And decides not to go to the concert.
What if the cab she calls to take to the concert is a split second later and they miss a light or they get in a wreck or, you know, there's just so many like
different variables
that could happen. And so like, I like there being stakes. I also really enjoy the Bill and Ted time travel.
What was their theory?
They could basically just tell themselves like they would be in a situation and say, okay, so like when we finally get out of this, because we know we're going to get out of this, we'll come back. We'll put the keys here. We'll put this here. We'll put this here. We'll put trash cans here. We'll set all these traps.
Are they trying to make it all like the way it was? Cause I haven't seen Bill and Ted in like 20 years.
The funny part about Bill and Ted is like they...
Which they are remaking, the whole, by the way.
Yeah. No, they're not remaking. They're making a third one, buddy.
It's not a reboot. Sequel. It is a
straight
sequel.
Sequel with all the original players, all Amazing. The original writers. Yeah.
And I love original cast.
It's shooting here in
ATL
in the summer. So hopefully I'm going to try.
Is Nick going to get on that thing?
So hard try. If it's just a day, I can just put it on.
Well, what's their time travel situation?
Their time travel situation is like they've been told that they're going to like mold society from their music.
Okay.
And because of this, they know the whole time they're going to win. Like there's no like they, but the whole thing is like they have to pass their history exam. So there's a point in time where like their dads are cops and they arrest them and like put them in like jail because they're like, you know, you're messing up or whatever. So, something happens to where they're in their jail.
So we lock you up.
So, but from the beginning of the movie, one of their dads has lost his keys. Like he's like it's like a crux of like one of the opening scenes. It was like, he's like, where are my keys? Where are my keys? Where are my keys? And so like during the scene in the movie, they're like, oh yeah, we'll just travel back in time, take my dad's keys, hide them right here. And then when we're here, we're stuck, we'll get out of it. We're like, we just have to remind ourselves. And then all of a sudden there's keys here. There's like traps set for like all these guys chasing them and stuff so they can go back in time and like set all these traps. But because they know they're going to win, they know they can do that. So they can pretty much just mold reality.
Right.
As it is. That's a cool. I thought that was always pretty
cool. That's still kind of butterfly effectish, though.
Kind of to a point.
That still lends itself to like the Back to the Future version of time travel.
Because like society knows they have to, like society's like, no, we have to send someone back in time to tell them so they can do this, so they can do, you know, like, so, you know, like there's like a fixed point.
Very Terminator-ish.
Yeah. There's very Terminator-ish where there's a fixed point, but also all that stuff has to happen. So like they can pretty much mold reality to whatever they want because they know in the end they're going to win.
Right.
But the whole new movie is about them. Like they're supposed to write this song or the world's going to end. And they only have like pretty much like, you know, the movie to do it.
Hmm.
So like, it's going to be them like trying to write this fucking.
So that's the new movie. The one that's coming out.
Bill and Ted Face the Music.
Okay. So getting back to bringing us back to Endgame. I don't know. Get off
time
on these
travel.
Tangents.
No. Time travel was. We were talking about time travel.
That's true. It's in game ish.
Yeah, Bill.
It was a key element, and as even, a matter of fact, even of the storyline.
So yes, they referenced all the movies.
Yeah. So I did come out of it feeling a lot better than going into it. I like their story. I like their version. It's kind of like their version of Infinity. Infinity Gauntlet's very
with the players
loose
they
base.
Were given with the players with, they were
what they
given.
Had to do right
yeah.
Exactly. And I would give the movie a and I want to go B plus, but I think that's being a little too harsh. Maybe I go A.
Solid A,
but low A. Mine's
A minus,
lower.
Yeah, like a 92. Like in,
yeah, 92 ish, right? Maybe a 3 points lower than you at 95. I'll go probably like 92.
But it was a great payoff for what they had given you. Like what is it? Kevin Feige had pretty much said the other day that like his whole Marvel like career has led up to the On Your Left scene of that movie, which was a great callback when Falcon is on the radio and he's like, Cap, you come in, you know, on your left. Because remember when they met?
Mm-hmm.
On your left. I was like, God, such a good callback. Like a lot of that stuff was really well done in terms of like the Hail Hydra from Captain America.
Yeah, it was trying to tie a bunch of loose ends and made a lot of references.
Yeah, exactly.
Made a lot of references, a lot of fan services if you like these movies.
And they really did a really good job about ending Captain America's arc. Like they really did. Like they, like for...
Which I thought he was going to die. So I think
everyone thought he was going to die, but everyone was like, no, that's way better.
It was way better.
Yeah.
Right. So what do you think about, was that Falcon's new Captain America? Yeah, what happens now?
Like, but so like they announced that they were going to have a Falcon Winter Soldier TV show.
I saw that.
And it's
Is it going to be on Marvel streaming?
It's going to be on Disney Plus.
Okay. Yeah.
It's only like 6 episodes. So it's not like they're having to do like a,
I wonder, is the same characters?
Nope. It's going to be a Captain America TV show now, right? It has to be. There's no way Anthony Mackie's like, oh, thanks for the shield, but I'm going to put it down right here. Yeah,
yo,
you know, like,
was that a vulture type?
That
move?
Was
more
that
vulture
was a,
than
that was
it
a
was
Hulk
Falcon.
Scream. That was a Hulk scream.
Okay. All right. Well, I feel. What about Hawkeye?
Hawkeye has his own show coming too.
What do you think about his in-game situation?
You know that
he's
scene,
pretty badass
that,
in the beginning.
The opening scene?
In a ninja type scene.
When his family disappears, that opening scene was supposed to be the end.
That's what sent him down.
Well, that was supposed to be the end of Infinity War.
Was it
going to be the last frame of, like, instead they ended on Thanos, but they had added that scene. So instead of making it the last scene of Infinity War, because you were like, we don't see him the entire time, but his name's on the poster. Like, they were like, but they ended up shifting that one to the opening. So it gave it a little more like, oh crap. I loved his storyline. I think he's awesome.
Who had the worst storyline?
Who had the worst? I wasn't a big fan of them teasing Captain Marvel the way they did, only to use her so sparingly. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was just like, oh yeah, Captain Marvel is going to be on the Avengers and this is going to be awesome.
I think it's more realistic though.
But yeah. And I agree.
She's such a late addition. Like how much
of
an impact.
They were doing her movie as they were shooting the Avengers. So how do you creatively do that? You know, because you have to get her in there for the battle scene. And not even the most of the battle scene, but that battle scene was probably like a good 2 weeks of just work, you know?
Really?
Yeah, dude, you're not going to shoot all that in a day. Like, no way.
Well, the Captain Marvel situation for me was thinking going into that she was going to be the person that replaced Adam Warlock, and she did to some capacity, but Adam Warlock was still more central to the storyline, the Infinity Gauntlet storyline. So I'm not sure who actually replaced him. I think it was more or less a mixture of people who did different things.
I think it was the three guys, Thor, Captain America, and Iron Man ultimately.
So what did you think about the Iron Man?
I just thought it was perfect. It was just perfect way to send that character out. I don't like the fact that, like, I wasn't a big fan of, like, killing him off when he has, like, a 5-year-old daughter. I thought you could have given him, like, the same sort of treatment. But
listen,
you're
Nick,
not
somebody,
supposed to
somebody's,
like it.
Come on, bro.
You're not supposed to like it.
So if Nick's writing these movies, everybody lives. Yep. We all ride out to the sunset.
Exactly.
You know, we're singing Kumbaya later.
You have to have them go out. Plus, it's like, I was like, yeah, I mean, there's no way like he was going to like it was going to be him or Steve. You know what I'm saying? Like it was going to be one of the two. And
so I feel like I do feel like Captain America. I thought he was going to die going in.
Yeah.
When it comes to Tony, I feel like Iron Man had to go because of the movie. So there's a very, very big difference of the movie universe. There's a very big difference between the comic book universe and the movie universe. Yes. And one of the massive differences is Tony Stark being a center of the MCU versus Tony Stark being
an ancillary character.
He's just an, I wouldn't even say he's a B player, but he's definitely an A minus player in the comic book world. Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? In the movie world, he's the central guy. Mm-hmm. So being that he's a central guy in this particular phase that Marvel's in and they want to move to the, how do you move to the next phase by killing off the main guy from the previous phase?
Yeah.
To me, it makes sense. Let it die so that we can have complete rebuilding
or just
in the next phase.
Not keep you guessing. You're not going to get another Iron Man movie. You're not going to get another, it's not going to be like Spider-Man, Iron Man, Thor, Captain America, Black Widow, and then another Avengers movie. Like it became like they're breaking their own formula, which is like exactly what they need to do.
Right. So I agree with that. I think that it's just a brave thing to do.
Yeah.
It's just a brave thing to do. And with the right source material, you can do it.
Yeah.
With the right source material, you can make these moves.
Well, also, the what they've been saying is that he's going to become the new AI for, like, you know, like the whoever's in the suit, whoever's in ultimately there.
So what, he's
Iron
just
Man.
Gonna be able to go and do voiceovers?
Yeah.
Is that what we're talking about?
Yeah,
I mean,
voiceover and maybe like
life.
Some green screen work of, because they already did the hologram of him. Like, what's to say that they already have his brain uploaded from Ultron? Like, it's, you know, like,
is that leaving the door wide open?
It's leaving the door wide open to where, like, oh, he, you know, like, Tony Stark might be dead, but we're not done with RDJ. Like, if we want to pay him $50 million to come hang out on a green screen for 2 or 3 days and record some voiceovers.
Record some voiceovers.
Who's not going to take
that
money?
That's what you move into. Like, that's what I was saying. Like, could you imagine? That's like the retirement.
Yeah.
That's Robert Downey saying, listen, this
Paul
is what
Bettany
I did for
did
you guys.
Backwards.
This is what I did for you guys.
Uh-huh.
You can thank me. Bye. I'm going to come in here in my pajamas.
Yeah.
do some voiceovers, yeah, and then go live the rest of my life.
I'm not doing any press.
No, of course. I'm just doing voiceover. I'm just doing voiceover. I'm not even in the film.
I'm not even technically in the movie.
I'm not required to do media. Mm-hmm. You know, show up to occasional Dragon Con here and there whenever you feel like it.
Doesn't have to do that, dude.
I mean, none of them have to do it. I mean, I guess none of his ilk have to do it.
The OG Avengers never have to do another convention in their life.
The Star Wars is the ones who have to do it from that first trilogy because, some of them weren't getting paid after that. So they have to make the Dragon Con round.
So back to your kind of rounding back to your source material argument.
Mm-hmm. For the Infinity Gauntlet?
Just for everything.
Okay.
Did you hear about the meeting that J.J. Abrams had with George Lucas about bringing Palpatine back?
I heard they had a meeting, but I did not read the article about what said meeting was about.
I don't think anybody knows what said meeting was about, but it was definitely like known that like, okay, we've got to right the ship.
I thought that JJ was brought in to do it,
but you did.
But you liked the ship, man. I did. You remember one of our most popular shows too. That was like one of our very first shows. And it was one of our most popular for the longest time. Yeah. Where you were sticking up for it.
I still stick up for it, man.
If it was so great, there'd be no need for correction, Nick.
It's not going to... I mean, okay, so correction from the populace opinion of the movie, because it's still very divided, but that was always the point of the movie. It was never supposed to like...
It's not Rian Johnson to do. Don't do this with our stuff. Don't come in my house and put your feet on my couch. You can put your feet on your couch if you want to, but don't come in my house with my feet on my couch.
Pull Rick James.
I mean, yeah, that's what he's doing. And I feel like he pulled a Rick James with Star Wars. That's what he did.
No,
he came into my house, made The Last Jedi.
And look at it. We're still talking about it.
You got me riled up.
Yeah, but that's the thing.
We're supposed to be ending this Endgame show. And now here we are arguing about Last Jedi.
Are we going to go into other material to talk about?
I mean, what other material do
you want? I was going to go talk about some Game of Thrones. It's right before the...
Okay, so let's do an Endgame Game of Thrones. Yeah. They both have the word
Game of Thrones.
The Endgame of Game of Thrones. Because that's what's coming on later. So basically, this just has to be a...
No one's done that yet, I bet.
Everyone's prediction. So as at the recording of this show, we are...
One episode away.
The last episode of Game of Thrones. So we'll have to come back. We'll talk about that.
That'll be next week, definitely, just a wrap up show. But so, let's talk about what we think is going to happen and then watch it tonight and then have our post show next
week. What do you feel about the season? Very polarizing, divisive season. So what is your opinion?
A lot of the complaints are coming down to there's not a lot of character development.
Yes.
There's rushing of like a lot of storylines.
Six episodes, got to do something.
And they're not representing women on the show still very well. They took their strongest woman character and turned her into someone who was love jilted. So she just goes off the rails.
I can knock down a lot of those arguments.
And I can too. But
so where do you stand on those before I get into my
rant? A lot of it is you have six episodes, so there's no room for character development. Mm-hmm. They've given you 7 years of development with these characters. Now let's see what that development does.
Right.
You know, how those developments mold who they are when their back is up against the wall, quite literally in a lot of sense, Jamie mm-hmm. Lannister and Brienne of Tarth. Mm-hmm. But I think I wasn't too happy with how a lot of people went out on the last episode. I don't know, the one where Daenerys kind of goes nutso and starts burning just everything in sight. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't really like, cause you have 7 years of these characters and for some of them to go out the way they did was just sort of like, meh. Okay. You know, like, so I'm not happy with that, but at the same time, you can't give everybody like this fucking awesome death. I'm sorry. I keep dropping the F bomb. My bad.
I have to put that type the explicit, click the explicit button.
Sorry, Ryan. Sorry guys. Shit.
So what is your response to some of the criticisms? Do you feel like they're warranted? Do you feel like...
I mean, look at it this way. Like, if you're going to make the argument like, oh, she's this jilted lover, or she's like jilted by her lover, so she goes crazy, I'm going to like draw your attention back to the Trojan War, where it was the guy on the other end. So this isn't an exclusive behavior for females, and for them to say like, oh, well, just because she's female, you know, they turned her into this like emotional sort of wreck sort of like, no, it's not, that's not exclusive to female. She just happens to be a female in that position. Who's in the position of like, well, my back's up against the wall. If I don't get these people to love me, I'll get them to fear me because they've already tried to kill me. They took away my most trusted advisor. You know, like they've earned this because they're siding with the, you know, like, so there's parts of truth that you kind of see in that, but also at the same time, you're watching it from the ground, from literally King's Landing point of view. You're not really seeing a lot of Daenerys, which I love too. It was a lot of more like, you're not really seeing a lot of Daenerys. Mm-hmm. You're seeing like the kind of, as soon as she kind of was like, all right, this is over, I'm done with this. Like, that's really all you see. You just see dragon flying now. You know, you don't really see.
So there's a great article called like the 12 things you missed about the last episode of Game of Thrones. You know, and there was a ton of articles like that online after it came out. I'm not just sure if this was on Business Insider or where, which site it was on.
Yes.
But, I agree with you with the whole, they gave you a lot, 7 years of character development. So we're on the 8th episode, right? That means they've been doing this about 9 to 10 years.
Eighth season.
Yeah. 9 to 10 years.
Yeah.
Okay. These are 9 to 10 years of these people's lives.
They didn't come back once a year. Exactly. Like they took a couple years off sometimes.
So these 9 to 10 years of doing this work for people. What I think that some people are, it's going to be bittersweet for some people, is they want another 10, 15 episodes.
Yeah.
You know, they want more. We're at the height of popularity for this show, literally the height of popularity for the show. So it's more. If it's up to people, then the showrunners, actors will be doing these characters until we are tired of seeing them.
Yeah. And then it's like, this show sucks now.
Right. And meanwhile, they devoted 15, 20 years of their life to these characters. And we're just like,
the show sucks. We moved whatever. On. It's like Dexter or any of like the things.
What you have to do is, I'm a big fan. This is why I was a fan. I think it was Vince Gilligan when he did Breaking Bad. Mm-hmm. What I loved about Breaking Bad was that it had a definitive beginning and end.
Yeah.
It was a story.
Yeah.
Right. When you look at all the seasons together, it was a story.
I guess now you're getting kind of backstories, but like you, it's a slice of life.
Right.
It's and it from was this particular time to this point of life. And whatever happens in there is the story.
That is it.
That's what I liked about, like, okay, so weird sort of cross-reference to this, but Napoleon Dynamite. Remember that movie?
I do.
It had no real story, but it was from this point of his life to this point of his life. And whatever happens in that point is interesting or not, that's what you get.
That's what it is. And sometimes when you're making this kind of art, you just have to make the art. You can't let the inmates run the asylum, so to speak. You can't, because you can't have, but you can't satisfy everybody. That's what the comment section of the
internet has become. My opinion is more important than everyone else's. And look at everyone who agrees with me with my opinion.
Right. And so everybody's got a group that agrees with them. Because usually you don't get one person with an opinion that stands out from millions.
And so
you get
now it turns groups of people. Yeah, it turns into this whole like, oh, let me sign a petition to get it.
Yeah, it's dumb because at the end of the day.
No, when has that ever worked?
It's not going to because I think the big decisions to, it was a big decision for the showrunners to end with 6 episodes. Nobody wanted them. HBO didn't want them to do it. Mm-hmm. George Martin didn't tell them to do it. This was showrunner decision to end it on 6 episodes.
That, because also it that just coming from that world of working on stuff, not necessarily of that scale, but that just working in that realm, like that must be a hellacious show to shoot. Like from it being a period piece to it being, you know, out in the wilderness to it being, you know, massive in scale to it, but you know, there's a lot of pressure from a lot of people, from a lot of ends, from a lot of different things. And so when you're dealing with hundreds of millions of dollars, like it just like, just take it. Cause, and again, they don't have source material to go off of.
Right.
They don't have anything to draw.
A lot of people are saying that that's the negative. A lot of people are like, well, ever since the books ran out, it's been trash and they've been having to try to pull it together and we don't like it.
Why don't you tell that sweaty fat piece of shit to get on his ass and write?
instead of blaming people who are just trying to service you in the only way they can, why don't you get the guy who's like, I need to just be in my house and write, but I can't stop going to Dragon Cons and comic conventions because the pussy's too good. And it's just like, come on, dude.
Is that George R. R. Martin?
Yes, I hate that motherfucker.
What do you hate him for?
Because now, all he does is complain
We need to do an episode on that. I didn't know that you had such strong hatred for this man. He doesn't hate the show. He's not knocking this situation.
Why does it take 20 years to write one book? Like, literally. Like, how long have those books been out?
It's only been 8 okay. years.
No, not since the...
Oh, you mean from the very first. You're going from Game of Thrones. The Game of Thrones book.
The Song of Fire and Ice.
That's what I'm saying, but the first book is Game of Thrones, isn't it?
Yes.
The first book in the series is Game of Thrones.
Okay, so when did that come out? The 90s. Like, that came out in the 90s. Okay,
so if you're going all the way back then, he did have... In fairness, his last book was 8 years ago, and that is a significant amount of time.
That is
too
long.
But it wasn't 20. It was 8 years ago.
Either way, why is it taking you so long? Mm. And the only excuse he has is I write when I write. It's like, cool.
He writes what he writes.
That's fine. But don't sit there and like complain about it afterwards. You know what I'm saying? Like, don't complain about the people who are actually doing the work. You know what I'm saying?
But
like,
he's not the one complaining.
I'm not saying he's the one complaining. Complain to the guy who source material they're supposed to draw from to service you, because it's not their duty get him to write.
People just don't blame anybody. Just listen to the damn story.
That's what I'm
at the end of the day.
That's my whole point.
At the end of the day, I don't feel like anybody's to blame here. I feel like you don't get what you want all the time in a story. And I was talking to a friend of mine who was being very critical of the story and talking. He was being critical, maybe not as critical as some people are being, but because we were talking about the criticism in general.
Yes.
So I don't want to say that he was being as critical as a lot of points that we were referencing in that conversation. But the thing I told him, this is a show that has millions of people who watch it.
Yes.
You're not going to satisfy
tens of millions.
Tens of millions of people. You're not going to satisfy them.
Never.
We're going to a show. Also, you're going to a show where it has a lot of favorite characters.
Mm-hmm.
You can have several. This is not like a 5-piece boy band where you got to pick five out of 5 people.
Yeah,
this is an ensemble. It's an ensemble. You know what I mean? So you can have favorite characters all over the place. And if you don't like how your character, if your character doesn't turn out the way that you maybe envisioned them developing, or maybe they get killed or something like that, then a lot of people are frustrated by that.
And
right.
And the point is not to service you. The point is to get you talking.
Well, I just think that a lot of times they're just writing a story and they want to tell you this is what it is. You're going to live with it or not.
I'm just saying you shouldn't blame someone for going off of source material and then calling it trash because there's no source material to draw off of, and then tell them, oh, it's your fault. It sucks. It's not the guy who's supposed to be writing the source material, who's supposed to be actually doing the work. Instead, they're having to do his job for him because he can't just sit in a room and write a damn book. Like,
I mean, who cares whether he writes a book or not?
Exactly. But that's my point. My whole point is like, do not get mad at them and tell them their work is trash when they're the only ones working.
Well, another thing is too, is I told my friend in that same conversation, for all these people complaining, let's go. You go make a show that gets millions of followers. Yeah. You go do it. And you'll see how hard it is to get hundreds.
You'd do something other than write your long ass paragraph about complaining.
Well, a lot of them
feel
like they can. Yeah. A lot of them are like, well, we can just go write. This is how this should have been done. Now
go get it funded. Go.
Do you feel like there's legitimate gripes? Cause I feel like there are a couple legitimate gripes. The legitimate gripes are stuff like, maybe because there is only 6 episodes, things do have to be rushed along.
How much of the stuff was padded throughout the rest of the season?
I think that too. It was slow drip, and then it became
go.
Rapid pace.
But they've always set it up that way. They've always set it up.
I think so too. And if in that article that I read about the 12 things, they reference a lot of brands' visions. So I don't know if it was season 4, season 3. I'll have to look at that article, which I should have pulled it up, but we're gonna have to end this show here soon anyway. In one of the earlier seasons, they referenced one of Bran's visions when he touched the tree and saw the dragon over King's, the dragon shadow over King's Landing.
Yeah.
This was all going to happen. Like, a lot of the stuff that's happening was what had happened when the books were out.
Have you noticed back then. The subtlety of Daenerys's hair getting braided. I read a little blurb about this the other day. About how, like, early in the seasons, her hair was just sort of like really, you know, simple and, you know, like maybe one or two braids. And then slowly throughout this season, it's getting more and more intricate with
they're
the
showing that
because her mind's getting more and more twisted. And
are you serious?
Yeah, dude, go back and watch it, dude. It is really interesting to see from like the first of this season to like last episode, her like top of her head is like nothing but like braids as like it's crazy. And that's like the little subtleties.
Well, I want to defend the whole, because I'm not going to try to hash out every plot point here. Yeah. It's their vision. I'm just a spectator.
You're just perceiving it. So it's not up to you to try to dictate,
you know,
what's going on.
So when I'm going into this, I will defend, when I'm going into watching this last episode, one of the things that did strike me was the whole Danny kind of having in mind the break around when she's on the, when, you know, she's on the,
tower.
On the tower, and then the bell rings, and of course she goes to the Red Keep to burn it down, so to speak. So I feel like that situation is legitimate to me from two perspectives. So I'm going to defend Danny, and I'm going to defend the Cersei death situation.
Yeah.
So Danny's situation is when she decides to, she has a dragon. I feel like what they did here was say, and I remember I was talking to a friend when I was watching it. Or a friend who had watched it, and I told them that she had a dragon. Mm-hmm. This was over when she had the dragon. Yeah. Three dragons just would have been overkill, but this was just over when she had a dragon. It's like people having guns versus swords. Yeah. It's like somebody who's got like an atomic, they have like an atomic weapon and you have swords. You can kill a dragon flying by itself on a, that's not looking for arrows or an ambush. You know, so they were able to kill one with a scorpion, but you're not going to be able to aim that shit at a dragon that's being piloted by a person.
That, and also that, you know, he's expecting it.
And is expecting it.
You don't have the element of
surprise.
You can
come in so low and come in so fast. Yeah. You got to turn that thing around. It's over. Uh-huh. You miss once, it's over. So it's,
which it was.
So I felt like it was very realistic. Mm-hmm. I don't like this whole, and I'm bringing this back to Cersei's death. I don't like this whole, like, there should have been a grand battle in it. And some people aren't saying that. Some people just don't like how she died. And I get that because there's so much development with that character. But at the end of the day, I felt it's so realistic in the sense that unless Cersei climbs out on a metal dragon of her own that they've been developing for her, and she flies it up and they have a big dragon fight. This is over, Nick.
It's over.
It's over. And she has a dragon.
You got that grand fight with the Mountain and the Hound.
Right.
That was,
now that's
that
a
was,
fight. That's a toe-to-toe, one-on-one
that
fight,
was
going right? to
be your thing, yeah.
You notice how he put the knife through the eye, too, and Arya had told the Hound that she was going to do it to him. Mm-hmm. She said, "When I'm put that knife through." Well, she said, "Knife through your eye and out the back of your head," some statement like that she makes to him, and he ends up doing it to his brother.
Yeah.
I like how all that stuff ties together. There's a lot more of this stuff tying together than people give credit for.
Yeah.
The Cersei death situation, dying the way she died, I just feel like it's more legitimate because she's not going to be able to have a fair one with a dragon. That's just not the way that this is going to work.
She went out sniveling, saying she didn't want to die. She was scared.
I liked it.
It was perfect.
I liked
it. Exactly the way
you
wanted
to
see it.
Because you brought back down to kind of that character kind of torn down to the studs right now.
And you didn't see that a whole lot.
Jamie knows it's over.
Yeah.
At that point, right? He knows it's over. She's kind of coming to terms with it at that point. Not in a good fashion, of course. She's not taking it too well. Clearly, he's taking it better. But some people are like, she might still be alive. And I really think she's dead. I think this show is just coming to an end.
Yeah.
We want to sometimes see these things go on forever.
Yeah. But I think it's coming to the end here. The prequel series got canceled. Like,
so where do you, in the next, this, we got 2 minutes. Where did you come into the show? Who did you come into the show thinking was going to be on the throne? And who do you think is going to be on it now? So who is your favorite characters or your favorites for the throne during the seasons?
I mean, I always thought Daenerys had a pretty good route there, but everyone knew the situation with Jon in terms of who his mom was, in terms of who his dad was. And I thought, it was always going to be his. Like, I mean, that's really, it's, I mean, a lot of that's kind of just like typical to say. But it was like, you know, once they kind of confirmed that like who he was, it was like, well, yeah, he's,
he's the rightful heir, like, and it's going to be him because he's the hero of the story.
You mean Jon Snow?
Jon Snow.
So was that always your pick as well?
Yeah.
I feel like I my pick.
Yeah, just because it was the rags to riches. Like, he was like the shunned child and like had like this kind of path, and like his journey from the whole thing, his journey is all about unification. He's never been one to say like, well, they're our enemy, we have to kill them. Like, he's always been one to be like,
the story has definitely steered you to saying that this guy is the rightful heir
choice, from like a personal standpoint, from a bloodline standpoint, from a just mental standpoint. Like, he's always been every time he's been put in a position of leadership, he's always like thrived and has always become better because of
it. You don't fight that super telegraph though.
Yes, exactly. That's the whole point though. Well, that was
I didn't pick Jon Snow because it's cliche. I feel like it's telegraphed. Exactly. It's telegraphed. Exactly. That's what's kind of like going to happen.
But,
My picks were but Jon Snow was your pick. Yeah, okay, that's like the obvious pick. So I guess the only surprise tonight would be if somehow that doesn't happen. Would be the only.
There's nothing surprise. Guaranteed, buddy. This show has never once guaranteed anything for you.
I feel like if it wants to give you a big surprise, that's the way to do it because of the telegraph that we were just talking about. How much they've telegraphed that all series. My favorite was Arya Stark.
Yeah.
Shout out to Arya. Arya. She was my favorite. And yes. I had her, and my dark horse was Samwell Tarly. So I had Sam Tarly.
Sam?
I had Arya and Sam Tarly. Those are my two picks. Now, when episode 3 came, I was scared for both these picks.
Yeah.
I was like, well, we had a good run. Yeah. We made all the way.
Especially Samwell.
We made it all the way here. Man. So, and I've had a good run on my characters. They're going to both die. Instead, one of my characters had the best moment. I had like one of the best moments ever.
Yeah.
You know,
of the series.
But when she did have that moment, though, Nick, I felt like she wasn't going to get the
throne. Oh, no.
I felt like that was her moment. You see what I'm saying?
As soon as that happened, it was like, well, now she's going to be gone. Like, she doesn't want anything to do with this.
That was her moment. So she's going to get that instead of getting the throne. So I kind of felt like that was.
Did you watch the little like behind the scenes of the episode afterwards? Mm-hmm. They talked about her. They made the decision for her to kill the Night King 3 years ago.
Yeah, when she made the statement about you're going to close the eyes, she told her you're going to close. What was her the witch?
Yeah, Melisandre.
Yeah, she told Arya when they met that they were going to meet again, mm-hmm. and there's going to be I'm paraphrasing. There's going to be different types of eyes that she shuts, mm-hmm. and she said your brown eyes, and then she said blue eyes. And then she reminded her of that night. Remember what I told you?
Yeah. What do we say to the God of death? Right.
And the thing is, a lot of this stuff ties in more than people give it credit for. Yeah. People want perpetual character development because they've grown. The thing about fandom, and this, I can definitely concede this myself when it comes to like Star Wars and other source materials, you get emotionally attached to this stuff. You know what I mean? And you feel like you kind of owe me.
Yeah.
Fuck all the millions of people. You owe Reggie. You owe me. And the thing is that's what's happened with this show. And I feel kind of sorry because I think that the showrunners couldn't win here.
Yeah, it's going to be very hard. It's a zero sum game. At the end of the day, everyone's going to be sad it's gone. And at the end of and some people are going to be sad it's gone, not the way they want it.
Not the way they would like to see it gone. All right. Well, we'll see what happens.
We'll see post show next time.
We'll go over to post show, see if Jon has finally made it there. Reggie ATL, Spotify, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, Google Play, iTunes. See you later.
Not today.